Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today, and I hope that you're having a great day and that you're looking forward to hearing from the Lord as we get to come together and meet with Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given to us, and Lord, the opportunity to meet with you. Father, thank you that you, O Lord, as such a great God, would desire, O Lord, to have a relationship with us, to bring us into a relationship. Lord, to reveal yourself to us, to speak to us. Father, we thank you. Open our minds and our hearts, O Lord, to be able to see and hear from you. Lord, to know you better, to grow in your grace, we pray, Father. Thank you so much again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, have you ever asked God how long? You know, maybe you've gone through some problem or facing some need, and it doesn't seem to end. It just seems to keep going on and on. Have you ever asked God how long? Maybe you've had some hope or dream and that you keep pursuing it. You keep trying to do all that you can, but nothing seems to be happening and you wonder how long. Or maybe you even have felt some leading from God, a calling from Him, and you desire to follow Him, be used, and yet the doors don't seem to open, and you wonder how long until this comes to fruition. How long until it ends? How long until you, in fact, get there? As we come to Psalm 13, this is exactly where David is in his life. He's facing a very difficult, draining situation. And you think about what he says in verses 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? You know, four times in those two verses, David asks, how long? In fact, as some Bible scholars and teachers refer to Psalm 13 as the how long, Lord, Psalm, because that's exactly what David's question is. And yet, as you keep reading through the psalm, you not only see the question, but you begin to see the effect that it has on David. You see the despair, the weariness, and we can probably all identify with it. You think of what David said in verses 3 and 4. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. You see how David's been worn down. We've all been there. The situation never seems to end. It never seems to improve. We never seem to get there. It never seems to end. We've probably all had those times, and we're probably all going to have them again, and you may be there now. And like David, you're weary. Like David, you're worn. Like David, you're giving way to despair. But we don't have to stay in that condition. Think of what David went on to say in verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. What did David do when he was asking how long? What is it that we need to do when we begin to ask how long? Well, look what we see in those last two verses again. Number one, we need to remember God's love. You think of what David wrote in the very first part of verse 5. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. And by that he means God's loyal, unchanging love. That love that desires and only works good for us. You know, Jeremiah 31:3, God tells us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Child of God, believer, God loves you with a love that is deeper, longer lasting than you can ever imagine. It's a love that's eternal. It's a love that's infinite. You know, we use the expression a mother's love, and where we talk about the deep love that a mother has for her child that only a mother can have, and certainly it passes anything that we can understand on this earth. But you know, that mother, even the best of mothers, on even their best of days, is only human. And her love, as wonderful as it is only a small fraction and picture of the tremendous love that God has for us. And even when we don't understand what's taking place around us, we can trust Him because of that love. like a small child, you know, with his mother in a busy shopping mall like we, you know, may have used to have done before COVID hit. And that child, you know, is just completely surrounded by busyness and activity and tall people and can't see anything. What does he do? He clings to his mother's hand because he knows her love. Child of God, even when you don't understand what's taking place, even when you're wondering how long, you can cling to the Father's hand. And if by chance you don't know Jesus Christ, understand his eternal love for you has been forever proven in the gift of his Son. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross in your place for your sins and to rise again to give you eternal life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You never have to wonder or doubt or question if God loves you. That love was forever proven at Calvary. The question is, are you going to come into that love by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? His love is an eternal love. And when we go through those times where we ask how long, all we need to do is to remember God's love. But not only do we need to remember God's love, we need to rest in God's purposes. Think of what we see in the latter part of verse 5. "But my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I know at the end of this that I will see, God, that what you did was right, what you did was good, what you did was in fact perfect." You think of Romans 8:28, "For God causes all things to work together to the good of them that love God, to those called according to his purpose." I know a lot of you are football fans, and even with everything else going on, it's still football season. Understand Romans 8:28 in the context of a football game. Romans 8:28 has nothing to do with the opening kickoff. Romans 8:28 has nothing to do with the second quarter. Romans 8:28 doesn't say anything about halftime. It doesn't say anything about the third quarter. Romans 8:28 really doesn't even have anything to say about the two-minute warning. Romans 8:28 says that when the clock runs out, you will see that what God did was good. You might not see it at the opening kickoff. You might not see it at halftime. And you might be wondering how on earth it can happen at the two-minute warning. But when the clock runs out, you will see that it was in fact good. I once heard Ron Dunn teach as he was describing faith. And he defined faith this way. Faith is trusting God in advance for what will only make sense in reverse. That is, faith is trusting God as you move through a situation, knowing that it's only going to make sense when you look back on it. And we can rest in God's purposes. We can rest in knowing that whatever God does, through whatever means, on whatever schedule, will in fact be for our ultimate good. We can rest in God's purposes. We can rely on his love, we can rest on his purposes, but then notice as well, we can rejoice in God's work. Verse 6, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Certainly, as we read this verse, there's the confidence looking forward, but there's also the rejoicing of God's past work. You know, few things are more comforting and calming in a trial than looking back and remembering God's work in the past. And if you happen to be this afternoon or morning, whatever time this is for you, in one of those circumstances where you are asking, "How long, Lord?" a problem, a trial, or an adversity, I want you to stop just for a moment, and I want you to think back in the past to some other time when there was a great need, a worry, an anxiety, a problem, an adversity. I want to ask you, as you think back on that, did God fail you? Well, if he did not fail you then, why would he fail you now? And the answer is, he will not. Everything that we've seen God do in the past ought to give us confidence for today. That's why praise and thanksgiving is so important. Certainly ought to be part of our prayer life. Certainly ought to be time of our worship, privately and corporately, in Bible studies and in church. Because as we thank and praise God for what He's already done, it gives us the confidence to trust Him for the future. And usually we don't have to think too far back to see all the reasons that we have to rejoice and all the reasons that we have to trust. Now it's true, God does not work on our schedule, but His timing is perfect. And He's only working out His plan to absolute perfection. And if you are in a situation today where you're asking how long, remember His love, rest in His purpose, and rejoice in His work, and you'll see Him work that perfect plan out in His perfect timing. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You that You are a God that we can trust. Lord, Your love, O Lord, has been forever proven. O Lord, we can rest, O God, in Your perfect plan. And O God, we rejoice in all the ways that we've seen You work. You are a wonderful God, and we can trust You even when we don't understand what or how or when. O God, we thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you will experience the Lord's love and care and guidance, and that you'll have a great day in His love and in His perfect provision.